It's good to be together this morning. If you might be like me this morning and have a runny nose and an occasional cough, and maybe it was a struggle for you to get out of bed because it's too cold and people shouldn't be outside, at least in my mind, until it gets back to around 70 degrees. But we're here. We're here, and it's good to be together this morning. But you know, I know that I need Jesus, and I know that we all need Jesus, and we need His help. Specifically, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to learn this morning as we listen to God's Word. So we want to grow this morning together in seeing Jesus more clearly, treasuring Him. So let's pray together. We'll ask for His help. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge right now You as King over all, over our lives, over the weather, over all things, big and small in our minds. You know our hearts, You know the struggles, You know the worries, the anxieties, the pains, the good, the bad, the ugly, You see it all. And I thank You that You are kind and You are good and You're generous and You are our helper. And so we ask right now You'd help us to just set aside all the distractions, and we ask for Your help to see You more clearly. As we open Your Word, we pray and ask that we would hear Your voice. We want to be taught by You. So we just ask for Your help. I ask that You would speak through me through this time, that You would be exalted, Christ, that our hearts would be changed by You. Thank You for this time. Commit it to You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, this morning, we've been looking together over the past few weeks at our Cornerstone vision, Cornerstone being the name of our church. And so what is our vision as a church, as a group of people gathered together to love Jesus and to make Him known? And up to this point, we've looked over the past couple weeks at specifically gospel transformation. We've looked last week at gospel community, and today we're going to be looking at gospel mission. But just by way of reminder, I just want to underline for us what our purpose is as individuals, as a church. And our purpose is scripturally based, is to glorify Christ, or as I like to put it, make Jesus famous. And we do this by enjoying, by reflecting, and making Him known to the fullest. And within this purpose, we find our missional vision. So from that purpose flows our missional vision. And our missional vision is to join God in His mission of creating a new community of lives transformed by the gospel. And remember, there's many ways of summarizing the gospel, the good news, but we'll summarize it in this way, and it's the wondrous message of who Jesus is for us, what He has done for us, and what He will do. And as God fulfills this vision among us by His Holy Spirit, our lives will be transformed by the gospel. Our community will be shaped by the gospel, and our mission will be defined by the gospel. And so, if you happen to one day be on our website, you might see these areas of gospel transformation, gospel community, gospel mission summarized as these three statements: seeing Jesus, sharing Jesus, and spreading Jesus together. So that's our purpose, and that is our vision. And to dig a little bit deeper into that is, as a church, we embrace our mission as Christ's witnesses, where we are now and wherever we go. Our covenant as a church says, we state that we will seek to live our everyday lives with gospel intentionality and exert ourselves in daring initiatives with neighbors, the needy, and the nations. For love of the Lord, for His kingdom and glory and fame, we will pursue, serve, and befriend outsiders, introduce them to our network of relationships, and share with them the gospel message. That's a lot. And we're going to unpack that a little bit. But why are we spending 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks talking about our vision? Don't we all know that? Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But I think it's very important because you might be like me and you forget things and have to be reminded. And so usually at the beginning of a year, there's a tradition you make New Year's resolutions. And those are good things to do. But maybe you're like me and you make them and January 3rd rolls around and you forgot what those were. But more than making New Year's resolutions individually, Stephanie's like, January 3rd? You're not very smart. Not you, me. Where was I going? So, making just resolutions by yourself, we tend to forget. But when you do it in community together, that we together as a people, we strive by God's help to do these things. We try to remind ourselves who we are, who God is, who He's our identity, and what He is calling us to do, where He's calling us to go. So we remind ourselves at the beginning of the year these things to stay focused on the calling that He's given to us. So I gave you a lot there right off the bat. We talked about in those definitions with the church, the mission, these different terms and words. Let me just put this out there, a definition for you that I think is very helpful. Tim Chester put it this way. He said, church is not an event. It's a community. Mission is not an event. It's a lifestyle. We are called to live ordinary life with gospel intentionality. And I think it's right and good to remember this, is that we're not just talking about structures and systems and events, but we're talking about people, you and I, who've been transformed by Jesus Christ, who have been shown His love. In exchange, we love Him and we love others. We're talking about a community, a family. And so all of this springs from Jesus has changed me. Jesus has given His life for us. He's come as the rescuer to forgive, to redeem, to restore. He's made us a community, a family. And He's given us a mission. But that church, that mission, are not events. They're people, they're communities, it's lifestyle, ordinary life with gospel intentionality. So, this morning we're talking about mission. Specifically, what is the mission of the church? Well, if everything has been said, if everything is mission, nothing is mission. So we need to define, what are we talking about? And we want to base our definition, obviously, on the Scriptures. We could all bring to the table, I think it's this, I think it's that. And those are good. It's good to brainstorm together. But this morning, let's do this. Let's look, we could look at length at many different Scriptures, but let's look at one that's pretty recognizable for many of us. And that's found in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. You do have it up there. And it's typically what's known as the Great Commission. So I'll just read that to Jesus. As you know, he's lived His perfect life here on earth. He's declared the kingdom. He's preached the good news that He has come to rescue, redeem, restore. And now He's died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. Some time has passed, and He's talking to His disciples. He's about to go into heaven, and these are His parting words. He says, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So this is Jesus. He's saying, this is what I want you guys to remember, and I want you to go do this. Church, I want you to go and do this. Tell people all over the world who I am, what I've done. People, and you will see people transformed, new communities formed, communities that love me, that follow and obey me. Not you, or a system, or whatever, but they follow Jesus. That's what I want you to go and do. So based upon that, here's a working definition. When we think about the question, what is the mission of the church? What is the mission of the church? Kevin DeYoung put it this way in his book, What is the Mission of the Church? He said, the mission of the church is to go into the world and make disciples by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit and gathering these disciples into churches that they might worship and obey Jesus Christ now and in eternity to the glory of God the Father. That is the mission that we have been given. That is the mission of the church. And that summarizes this passage that we just read in Matthew. So I want to kind of unpack this together, thinking about what is the mission of the church, what have been called to do, and some other things along the way. And I'll just be up front. A lot of this, as I was thinking, man, there's so much to share in when you start talking about mission and a mission base. It's just, where do we go? What does it mean? So many scriptures, so many thoughts, so many things I've learned over the years. And so right up front, I'll say a lot of this isn't my necessary original thoughts. Some of it I'll give credit to whom credit is due, and some of it, you know, I can't even remember who the source was. But let's learn together this morning as we think about what is the mission that God has called us to. So we've seen that the mission, what the mission of the church is, but I think when we think about the mission of the church, it's very important that we couple that with our understanding of what is the mission of God. What is the mission of God? You see, missionary identity is rooted in the triune and sending God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The fact that God is a sender is connected with the very existence of the church. And we are reminded that the fact that Jesus was the sent one is the most fundamental identification of Jesus. He said himself, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So therefore, because of our identity in Christ, we are to continue the mission of Jesus. There is no participation in Christ without participation in his mission to the world. That by which the church receives its existence is that by which it is also given its world mission. The mission of God, therefore, is the recognition that God is a sending God, and the church is sent. It's the most important mission in the scriptures. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of that mission. So I like how this is put. The Holy Spirit is the power of that mission. The church is the instrument of that mission. And the culture is the context in which that mission occurs. Now, we hear the term mission, missional, mission-minded. And I want us to, I think we know this as a church, but just as a way of reminder, we don't want to confuse the terms mission-minded and missional. So the first, mission, being mission-minded, we could say that that refers more to, it's an attitude of caring about missions, and particularly overseas missions. So I was a missionary for a long, long time, upwards of two decades, and so I was a sent one, being a missionary overseas, telling people about Jesus, and but missional means actually doing mission right where you are. You don't have to go overseas to be missional. Missional means that all of us adopt the posture of a missionary, learning and adapting to the culture around you while remaining biblically sound. Because think of it this way. Missional means being a missionary without ever leaving your zip code. So there is a little bit of a danger here, is that as a church, we could only be mission-minded without ever being missional. Having an attitude of caring about missionaries, but not ever ourselves adopting the posture of a missionary in our zip code. So as a church, we want to be a missional church. So a church that is on mission. Now here's another definition. On mission means this. It means being intentional and deliberate about reaching others. For example, on mission, Christians might look like this. She establishes a Bible study in her home for neighbors who don't know Jesus, have no connection with the church. He finds opportunities to share Christ with his friends and co-workers who don't know Jesus. A daring initiative might be for some of us to take 30 steps across the street and knock on the door and meet our neighbor and build a relationship with them so that we can get to the point of sharing Jesus with them. There's many ways that this looks like, but we want to be focused on God's mission. We want to be aware of what God is doing in our culture, and we want to join Him in His work. So as a church, we want to be willing and eager to engage the culture with the truths of the gospel. And in all of this, when we go back to Matthew, and Jesus said, "Go in all the world, make disciples, tell people about Jesus so that those people will follow me." A disciple of Jesus is someone who follows Jesus, loves Jesus, whose life's been transformed by Jesus, who obeys Jesus. And when that is central to our mission, we're always going to be asking, when discipleship is central, we're always going to be asking how our everyday life, the good deeds that we do, the good deeds we undertake, can give us an opportunity to bear witness to Jesus Christ. How can the good deeds we undertake give us an opportunity to bear witness to Jesus Christ? Now let's dig a little deeper. Talking about good deeds. Scott McKnight said, if we improve our schools, get people off welfare, clean up the park, and plant trees in our neighborhood, but aren't seeking to make disciples, we may bless our communities, but we're not accomplishing the church's mission. All of those things that you mentioned are good and right and excellent. And as a church, we should be involved in those things. Even planting trees. Because God loves His world and has called us to care for it. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is to, with our words, speak the truth of who God is, what He's done through Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, that Jesus saves, He rescues. So we want that to be our focus, our mission. Think with me about how Jesus did this. Jesus, to use a big word was incarnational. He was incarnational. It means he took on human flesh and form. And just as Jesus was incarnational, you and I are called to be incarnational. I love how the Message, a translation of the Bible, translates or phrases John chapter 1, verse 14. Puts it this way, talking about Jesus, the Word. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory. Like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Jesus moved into our neighborhood. He left all the glory, splendor of heaven, and he came here on a rescue mission. And he didn't stand aloof, but he entered into the everyday life. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it is to be cold. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows all of these human things. He listened to the stories of people. He ate meals at their table. He was one of them, and yet not, because he was distinctly the King of the universe, God incarnate. So how do we, the church, imitate Christ and become incarnational to our culture? How do we do that? Let's read for a minute another passage in Mark chapter 4, another story that you might be familiar with. It's a story that Jesus told, a parable. Jesus often talked in parables or in stories to make a point. And this is a parable that we call the parable of the sower or of the seed growing. It's Mark chapter 4. I'll read verses 26 through 29. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Now, this is what I want to point out or underline, is that we as a church are called to plant seeds. We can't change hearts. We don't change people. Jesus does that. And we don't know how. How does that happen? How did my life get changed? How did Jesus? It is a mystery, but he does it. He changes our lives. He takes us from darkness into light. He takes us from a lover of sin and evil to a lover of good and righteousness. He changes us. He adopts us. He chooses us, his enemies. He brings us into his family, makes us his sons and daughters, his friends. That's what he does. And as lives transform, he says, "Go plant seeds. Tell others about what he's done for you and what I can do for them. Be a light, be a witness, be a blessing to your communities." Remember, there's a story in the Old Testament, and the people of Israel, they've been in slavery, they've been in bondage, and it's a terrible time. They're in Babylon. They don't want to, it's a pagan, disgusting, terrible place. And they're like, "No, we're not going in. We're already in prison. We're not going in there to that city. No way." And what happens? God sends a prophet and says, "Actually, go. Go into the city." And I'm paraphrasing, but he says, "Go into the city. Be a blessing. Bless the city. Build houses, businesses. Have families. Bless the city. Because I've called you to be a blessing, to be a light. Not to retreat, but to engage." And so, in this passage that we just read of planting seeds, Ed Stetzer put it this way. He said, as we plant seeds, these seeds are, think of them as seeds of prayer, of love, of kindness, of good deeds, and witness in all the circles where God allows us to roam free. Home, work, neighborhood, social circles, kids' schools, and sports teams, etc., etc. Rather than moving into those contexts with a goal of attracting non-believers to a church service, you and I are called to be spiritual entrepreneurs who see our job as living out the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? It was Richard Wurmbrand, when he was in prison, told this story before and suffered horribly because he was a follower of Jesus, and he's in prison in Romania, and he's telling another Russian, he's telling a Russian soldier about Jesus, and he's sharing the good news of Jesus, and Russian soldier's just not getting it. It's not computing. And he's just telling him and talking to him, and time passes, and finally the Russian soldier tells Richard, said, Richard, I would love to become a Christian. And he said, I hear what you're saying, all these things, but he said, if I could see Jesus, then I would be a Christian. Richard paused and he looked at him and he said, I'm like Jesus. And he said, Richard, if you're like Jesus, then I want to be a Christian. You see, we are Christ's representatives. To answer the question, who is Jesus? We share Jesus with our lives. We share him with our actions. We share him with our words. In their book, Shaping Things to Come, Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch pointed out that the missional church, being a missional church, is being incarnational, not attractional in its ecclesiology. So by incarnational, we mean it does not create sanctified spaces into which unbelievers must come to encounter the gospel. Rather, as a missional church, disassembles itself and seeps into the cracks and crevices of a society in order to be Christ to those who don't yet know him. You see, many people might feel, hey, this is a strange alien culture. Many people feel they're entering an alien culture when encountering evangelical Christianity. But the reality is this, is it's not the job of the unchurched to enter our culture. It's our job to invade theirs. We do that by recognizing this as mission work, which is the same everywhere. As a missionary, we must radically engage our cultures. I spent years and years and years overseas. I had to learn a new culture, a new language, a new way of driving, a new language, new bureaucracy, a host of things. But the same is for all of us in the zip code in which we live. You need to learn about the people around you. You must radically engage the culture. It's a day-to-day effort. We must speak about Christianity, but people also want to see Christianity in action. We must go to people. We must go to people in culture in order to reach them. We must live in their neighborhoods, eat at their restaurants, drink coffee at their coffee shops, stop at their stores. Living in Christ must become a daily reality. Because being a Christian is not a label or a banner flown on Sundays. It's a way of life. I love the story of Jesus. When they're walking along, he's walking with his disciples and walking, and they're getting hungry and get close to a town with a reputation for not being so great. And Jesus says, you guys go find some lunch. I'm going to hang out here for a while. Sure. They go on. Jesus sees a woman who's getting some water, and he engages her in conversation. And culturally speaking, he's not supposed to be doing that. But he does. Takes initiative. And they have a conversation. And her life is changed from that conversation. And the disciples come back. They got food. Jesus isn't that hungry. He's like, I've got food you don't even know about. And then this woman, she goes back to her town and she starts telling everybody, come and see someone who told me all I ever did. Come and see someone who's changed my life. Come and see. Those three words you see repeated in various stories involving Jesus. People saying, come and see. Come and see. That woman, she should be trying to hide all the past. But she's saying, no, just come and see. Come and see someone who told me everything I ever did. Because why? Because I've been rescued now. I've been forgiven. There is no shame. Jesus has received me, accepted me, forgiven me, changed me. Come and see. That's the good news of the gospel, that Jesus changes us. He rescues us. He forgives us. He gives us a hope and a future. And so that is what we invite. People invited us to do. Jesus invites us to do. Come and see. And so we do the same with others. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. Not us. Come and see Jesus, what he has done. As we close up, let me just be honest with you here is that, and confess, I am really bad at all of this. And I really need Jesus' help. Really, really do. Because often you talk about mission and it can remain theoretical. And I know what I should do, but often maybe don't do it. And so that is why I appreciate having times like this to renew together our commitment to loving Jesus, to loving one another, and to being on mission together, to being missional together. Because I want to be challenged, held accountable, and run together, making Jesus known, to do that together. And so together we want to do these things. To pray for one another, to help one another. And when the temptation is, I just want to stay at home. Close the door. And we need to remind each other who God is, what he has done for us, our identity, and what we should be doing. And encourage one another. Spur one another on. Run, get up and run. I was running a half marathon. It was a miracle. And I got close to the finish line, and I was gassed. I mean gassed. And I was like, going to get under the time? No. And this guy comes running up behind me and yells, come on! And I said, wow, yeah, let's go. And we ran. I mean, he pushed me. And I ran with him that last minute, whatever long it was, and got under the time that I was going for. Took someone coming along and screaming at me, come on, total stranger. I know who he was, never saw him again. But you and I sometimes need to scream at each other. Come on. Not literally. Maybe so. I don't know. But we need to remind ourselves of these truths. Let me just propose a few areas of application as we close. And these are some things we've talked about earlier last year, maybe it was, when we talked about missional communities. So just a way of reminder, let me just reiterate that everything we're talking about today is not just an optional method, strategy, or structure to consider, but it's actually a faithful response to our gospel identity. Because in light of who God is, the work he's done for us through his son Jesus Christ, and who that has made us as his adopted sons and daughters, we have an identity. as family, and as missionaries or sent ones. Identity is what is true about our very core as a person, who they are, their being. You see, as disciples of Jesus, our doing, our obedience, and how we live our daily lives should therefore flow from our identity as family and missionaries. It should flow from who God is and who He's made us to be. He is our Father and He's made us a family. He sent His Son as a sent one, and He is sending us. We are God's family, sent on God's mission together, and we need each other for that calling. So I want us today to think about this. I want us to think and to pray and to ask God to give us a missional heart. A heart of conviction, passion, and brokenness for the lost that is given and sustained by God in the gospel. And when we have that heart, when God gives us that heart, when we maybe just remind ourselves and renew, yeah, that's what God did for me through Jesus. When we have that heart, that leads us to be a missional person. And that's a person who has an intentional lifestyle of mission and orients their time and resources around influencing lost people. And a missional person leads to a missional community, a group of missional people that have a strategic plan around living a missional life together as a family on mission. And that missional community leads to a growing missional church, a church with a growing number of communities, and it's regularly experiencing the missional fruit of transformed lives. So practically speaking, when we talk about missional, it might just look simply like this. It might look like walking across the street, meeting your neighbor, inviting them for a meal. It might look like frequent contact with your co-workers, your neighbors through meals. It might look like parties. It might look like play dates with the little kids. It might look like school activities, hobbies, work, etc., etc., etc. It might look like a host of things that are going on in your brain. But all those things lead to these things. Focused prayer for the non-Christians involved in those relational spaces. And that leads to relationships growing from just acquaintance to trusted relationship. Jesus was the friend of sinners, not just the acquaintance of sinners. He knew their stories. He had their ear. And that leads to increased opportunities to tangibly demonstrate the gospel through radical love and generosity. And then that leads to increased opportunities for deep, vulnerable conversations about the big questions of life and spirituality. And that leads to proclamation of Jesus as the healer and restorer of all broken, lost, and lonely things. And that is the good news that we proclaim. Jesus, the healer and restorer of all broken, lost, and lonely things. It's a messy thing. It doesn't always work clear-cut like that, in that order. But Jesus came into a messy, broken world, and He lived among us, and He laid down His life for us, and He's calling us the recipients of the greatest gift to do the same, because it's our greatest joy when we follow and obey Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do love You, and we thank You that You have rescued us. We acknowledge You are the healer. You're the restorer of all that is broken, lost, and lonely. And we pray that as a church, you would help us to be following you, obeying you, pointing people to you, to be a people on mission. We ask for your help, acknowledging we can only do this through you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.